God bless you this morning. I have a privilege this morning of sharing God's word with you. In the message today, we're going to conclude the monthly series entitled Gratitude this morning. We have been expressing gratitude all month long, and today I want to talk to us about gratitude for the Holy Spirit. But before we get involved in the message this morning, I want to ask you prayers concerning just a few upcoming items in the life of the church and call everyone's attention to just a couple of things to be praying with us about over the month of December. First of all, our holiday season is kicking in live in full gear beginning next Sunday, everybody. It is going to be an incredibly joyful and festive December, including all the activities of the church. Man, there's very special things taking place in the kids' ministry this month. Please stay plugged into that. Make sure that you stay aware of everything that's going on in the life of the church over the next few weeks. There's all kinds of opportunities beginning next Sunday night. Here on campus in the auditorium, we're going to have a family movie night. So come and be blessed by that and enjoy that. Kind of kick off the holiday season or the Christmas season together next Sunday night at 6 p.m. Also, the Loxley Gives event that's coming up. As you guys saw this in the Loxley Live video a few moments ago, but this is our opportunity to be a blessing to some families in need this year. It's a wonderful event. It was great last year. If you don't understand what that means, it's just we're going to provide gifts for some families, and you're going to do that by going into the lobby and grabbing one of those gifts off the gift tree and going and purchasing that, bringing it back, putting it here in the foyer with the little tag, and we're going to have a great serve day that day. Also, be in prayer for January. We are going to kick off the new year, as usual, with a dedicated season of prayer and fasting. How many believe along with me that God still answers prayer? Amen. And so we want to make sure that we get the year off, started off with strength and power by spending some time together in prayer and fasting for 21 days. Now, I'll be talking over the course of December with guided instruction about what that fasting needs to look like for us as a body and as for you as an individual. But be praying in preparation now and seeking the Lord about how He would like for you to fast and participate in that. And be believing for God to do some supernatural things in your life, your family, and the church. Amen, everybody. And then finally, please be in prayer concerning the first fruits offering that we'll participate in January. The Word of God gives us specific instructions about giving. And we emphasize generosity here in our church. And thank God that you're a generous church and that you can accomplish so much through your giving. But we are going to be receiving a special love offering in January, either through one-time gifts or over the course of pledges over the year, above regular tithes to bolster the general fund and vision of the church for the new year and to get us off on a good start for 2023. Amen, everybody? And so I want you to please be in prayer about that concerning how the Lord would have you to give in our first fruits offering. You're going to be hearing about that in promotion all month long. Well, how many of you are grateful for all that God is doing in your life? This morning, I get the privilege of wrapping up this series, and we're just going to talk about this morning gratitude for the Holy Spirit. Grateful for the Spirit of God. God is the greatest gift giver ever. Amen. He's always giving us great gifts, everybody. And He really has given us two great gifts to resource this life with salvation and with power. The first obvious and most vital gift, of course, is the great gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Word says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Praise God. Are you among those this morning who have received the gift of His Son, Jesus? Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Come on. Aren't you glad you're born again this morning? But while Jesus was on the earth, He told of another gift from the Father, and that gift was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. Come on. This morning, I'm going to be asking everybody to pray and prepare your hearts to receive the Holy Spirit into your life. We need to be grateful for the Spirit of God. Let's kick off in Scripture. In the book of Acts chapter 2, we find the word describing the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now, the believers there that day were gathered together in an upper room, waiting for the experience of being filled with the Spirit of God. It was an experience that Jesus had told them all about. In fact, he instructed them to wait in Jerusalem for this gift. Look closely at the scripture. After the Holy Spirit fell upon the people there, the Bible says that tongues likened unto a fire set upon each one of them. I'm going to talk to us today about why God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then at the conclusion of the message today, I'm going to be praying for God to fill everybody in this room with the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many believe he'll do it? Come on. Well, Pastor, I'm already baptized in the Holy Spirit and Spirit filled. You can be refilled. You might need to be filled up again. Come on. You might be running on low. You might just need a top off. But if you're here today and you're born again, you can be filled with the Spirit of God before you leave. It's a life-changing thing. Peter stood up. Look at verse 14 on your screen. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." Verse 15. "For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." He says this, verse 16. "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Lord spoke to the prophet, and it was fulfilled on this day. And here's what he said. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Prophecy, visions, and dreams. Now, the word of God here, church, is describing a spiritual experience where sons and daughters live a deeply spiritual existence that enables them to be in tune with the voice of God. It's describing a life when young men and young women are full of vision, the kind of vision that sees deeply into spiritual matters of life and enables them to be concerned with God's kingdom rather than being concerned with things of this world. The word here is describing an experience of life where old men and old women have not given up on their dreams from God, but they still know how to dream big for God. See, these are the attributes that God intends for his people to live by. What are those attributes? People speaking and prophesying life over one another, coming and going with a great word from God for one another. People living every day, pursuit of the great vision of God for their life and for the church. People having the faith and the courage from God to dream and believe in what God can do. Amen. Can you imagine with me just for a moment the influence, the power of the local church in the community when all of the members of the church are living this spirit-filled kind of life? Words of life flowing. Each step in action, motivated by God's vision, and people coming together to lock arms and chase dreams that are birthed straight from the throne room of God. When we're challenged by this picture of life that God has painted for us to live, it requires that we ask this question: why does Christ baptize believers in the Holy Spirit? And the answer this morning is very, very simple. He baptizes people in the Holy Spirit because we'll be endowed with power for witnessing and for serving. Amen. Can y'all see that on your screen, guys? Amen. See, on that very first outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it was not an accident or a coincidence that day that Jesus' followers were in the right place at the right time to receive their empowerment from God. Jesus himself had foretold that great outpouring. He gave them specific instructions to wait for the gift. Notice from Scripture how important this encounter was to the Lord in Luke 24, 48 and 49. He says, "And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Thank God. Do you see how important it was to the Lord? Jesus placed such a high level of importance on his followers having this encounter with the Holy Spirit. See, waiting for the gift was one of his last words of instruction before he ascended to heaven on a cloud. He told them this in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Read it along with me. Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Witnesses. Everybody say witnesses. Notice that he intends for you to be filled and empowered by the Spirit of God for the great purpose of being a great light, a great witness for him in this world. Amen, everybody. Sometimes people think that in order to be a great witness for Jesus, they've got to have a lot of Bible knowledge. Sometimes people think that they need to be a theologian or they need to be able to explain the gospel with great eloquence. Sometimes people even think that to witness for Jesus, they must be able to be very persuasive, to be great with words. And guys, all those things are fine if you have them. But hear me out this morning. But what makes you a great light for Jesus is not your head knowledge. Let me say that one more time. What makes you a great light for the Lord is not how much you know. It's not your mastery of Scripture. Your light for Christ does not depend on your ability to be a great debater or to persuade others that what you believe is true. That's not where it's at. I will tell you this morning, when your light shines the greatest. Come on, if you're ready, say, "I'm ready this morning." I'll tell you when your light shines the greatest. When you're facing something difficult in life and somehow you're able to maintain and keep your composure and stay in faith. That is what causes people to get curious about what's going on the inside of you. Did y'all hear me this morning? When life has thrown you a curveball and you're having to manage unexpected disappointments and discouragements, and you come through that with your joy intact. Come on. That is when people begin to wonder about you and wonder what's going on inside of you that helps you stay your course with God. Can you receive it this morning? When you get the kind of news in life that causes most people to bow down in fear, but not you, because you've got something extra that causes you to raise a voice of hope in the middle of a wilderness season. Those are the times when people begin to notice and lean into you, and they can see that there is a power working on the inside of you that triggers your faith instead of your fear. Hear me now. When everybody around you is distracted by their circumstances and all they can talk about is what can't happen because of this and because of that, but not you. You're the one who lifts your voice and reminds them about what God can do. What does that look like this morning? Well, hear me out. Sooner or later, church, God is going to need a spirit-filled child of God to enter into the room and change the atmosphere with a prophecy, with a vision, or with a dream. And when everybody else is beat up, busted, and cast down, God's Spirit will rise up and speak through you and bring with you this kind of attitude. You might say something like this: "Okay, I'm here now. I'm here now, and I want to remind everybody that the King that we serve conquered death and walked out of a grave. And that means that he ain't worried about the stuff that you're worried about." Anybody want to be that guy? Come on. Who wants to be that guy this morning? Amen. This is how you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness. Hear me out on this. God has resourced your life with an abiding presence of Himself. Let me say that again. It's vital that we emphasize this. Because there are so many people in the kingdom of God these days walking around defeated, feeling like you've been left out of the distribution of power. But God has given you access to a resource that is an abiding presence of Himself. That's the Spirit of God on the inside of you to elevate you exactly when you need to shine and show somebody what it looks like to overcome. Somebody received it. Come on, say, I receive it this morning. Real quick, let me just give you three facts about the baptism in the Holy Spirit this morning. For those of you who are taking notes, I want you to see this today. Three things about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Number one, spiritual power is based in Scripture. We need to see this experience with God's Spirit as not a made-up, it's not a fictional, it's not a doctrinal fad. It's rooted in the Scripture and meant for you and I to embrace as a real resource from God. One of the greatest examples I can think of from Scripture is from John the Baptist, who had a wonderful, big, broad ministry. He preached repentance and the coming of the Lord. His message was very, very simple. Make way and make straight your path, for the kingdom of God is coming. And he foretold that Jesus would baptize people in the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, this is John the Baptist explaining what's about to happen when Jesus shows up. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. In other words, I'm going to show you that there is a first baptism, a baptism in water. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I could preach right there for just a minute. Because, you know, the fire of God is what we need right now. I talk a lot about passion. Let me tell you something. You can equate passion of God with the fire and the zeal of God. We need to be fired up. You know what everybody's looking for? They're just looking for something to be fired up about. Something to be passionate about. Something to believe in. That's why it's so vital for you and I to walk every day, every day. When our feet hit the floor every day, I'm walking a spirit-filled existence with passion and zeal and the fire of God. Why? Because there's a hurting world out here that's looking for hope and looking for somebody who claims to know Jesus, somebody who claims to be filled with the Spirit of God, to live with the zeal and the passion and the fire of God alive and burning in them, to give them something to believe in. He said, I baptize you with water under repentance, but you know, there's somebody coming after me. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. It's a Bible-based experience. Look in Acts 1, 4, and 5. This is what Jesus said. It was so important to him. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Notice Jesus was intent on his followers being filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. He meant for you and I not to be struggling through life, trying to obey his orders and his command on our own ability and our own power. He intends to dwell in you and through you in a way that the world doesn't understand. Maybe even sometimes in ways that we don't understand. Amen. What happens in Acts 2, 4? The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is a Bible-based event meant for you and I to experience. Aren't you glad about it? Number two, spiritual power is a promised gift. Thank God. It's a promised gift. You know, we like to say that God gives us great gifts and he promises great things. I want us to understand as well that the gift of the Holy Spirit is his way of blessing you every day. Jesus said this in John chapter 7. This is a good way for us to compare our lives and find out where we are relative to the Holy Spirit in our life. Jesus said on the last day, the great day of the feast, look closely. Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Thank God. Oh my goodness. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, this is a pretty good parameter and a good, pretty good measuring stick right here. What's flowing out of your heart this morning? What's flowing out of your life? Is the fruit of the Spirit flowing from you? Are you downtrodden, beaten, discouraged? Do you look for somebody to pour into you all the time? Now, we all need somebody sometimes, amen. But most of the time, a Spirit-filled believer is looking for somebody else to pour into. You got this river flowing. You got to put it somewhere, amen. It's flowing. Now, how do you know that's talking about the Spirit? Well, look what it said. Look at verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, this was happening before Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected and ascended to heaven in his glorified body. But now that he's gone from this earth and he's at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit has descended and the Holy Spirit is here. You and I are never alone. This is why the Word of God is true when it says that God the Father never leaves you nor forsakes you, because he's always there. At one point, he's teaching about the Holy Spirit, and he says, you know what? The Holy Spirit is with you, and he shall be in you. That's what we're focusing on this morning, the fact that we want the Holy Spirit dwelling in here. We are his temple. We are his tabernacle this morning. Thank God. Number three, before we pray this morning, understand this. Spiritual power is part of God's plan for you. Thank God. Spiritual power is part of God's plan for you. I want to show you an example this morning. Let me just describe it to you. If I asked you to build me a house, and that I didn't give you the tools or the materials to build that house with, I just said, okay, go do it. Y'all hear? Now, it's incumbent upon you at that point to find your own tools, your own materials, and spend all your time getting ready to build the house. Come on. However, if I ask you to build a house for me, and then I turn around and say, okay, here's all the tools you need. Here's your hammer, here's your nails. Here's all the wood, all the lumber that you need. Here's the plans. All you got to do is pick up your tools and go do it. There are a lot of people today in the church who are willing to obey the Great Commission, who are willing to live the big prophesying, vision, having, dream, building life that God has called you to, but you're trying to do it without the tools. Can y'all see this? God has given you the tools. But if you're living, struggling along, just trying to be a good Christian and trying to excel on your own power, you're saying no to the tools from God. Can y'all see this, guys? You're saying, I don't want the tools to build the house. I want to do it on my own. God doesn't want you doing it on your own. He wants you to have a more impactful life than this. He wants you filled with the Spirit of God. Spiritual power is part of God's plan for your life. And he'll give it to you. Look what Jesus said in Luke 11:13. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How do you get the Holy Spirit? You ask Him. How do you receive the Holy Spirit just like you say you receive any gift? That's why I'm talking about gratitude for the Spirit of God. Now, we're about to enter a season of gift giving and receiving. It's the easiest way I can tell you right now in receiving the Holy Spirit. When someone gives you a gift, what is the appropriate thing to say? Thank you. Well, when God gives you the Holy Spirit, all you've got to do is say, thank you. That's it. Thank you. I receive the Holy Spirit and thank you. Can y'all receive that, guys? I want you to read this last statement before we pray. If you belong to Jesus, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Let me read it one more time. If you belong to Jesus, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Spiritual power. Come on. Y'all receive it this morning? I'm going to be praying in just a moment for everybody in here to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's going to change some people's lives. And you're going to walk with a new victory and a new hope and a new power. So when people see the difference in you because of the application and the presence of God's Spirit in your life, they're going to want what you have. That's why Jesus was so adamant about making sure they wait for the promise of the Spirit. Amen, everybody. Come on, y'all receive it this morning? Come on, if you love the Lord, let's give Him praise and claps right now. Come on, give Him some.